Well, when you talk about, what Jesus did for us, kind of a standard thing that comes out, which is absolutely true, is Jesus died on the cross for my sins. It's almost like, you can kind of say that, and you know that that's true and that's right, and that's kind of what my relationship with Jesus is, that he died on the cross for my sins. And as I was praying about what do I say when I preach before communion, what do I say? And I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about sin and what Jesus did. And, immediately that came out for me. Well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I felt like the Lord turned my mind's eye to some other part of what Jesus did for my sin. And I just want to focus on Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 is an example of the fact that the Bible is a supernatural book. It's not inspirational. Lots of inspirational books. It's inspired by God. God breathed. And here we have a prophet who lived a little over 700 years before Jesus walked on the earth. And he brings a prophecy, and oftentimes prophets, they didn't even know the extent of what they were saying. And oftentimes there are layers to what they were saying, where they're prophesying into a certain situation that might have to do with their own life and times. And then all of a sudden it seems like a switch gets flipped, and there's a dimension to what they're saying and what they're prophesying that spans the centuries. And brothers and sisters, this is what we're looking at when we look at Isaiah chapter 53. It's Isaiah the prophet, and he's prophesying into something, and the Lord jumps the vision so that he's seeing not just into his life and times, he's seeing down the centuries, and he's seeing up into the big picture, the big plan of God. And we sang about it. The word that they use in the song is reckless love. And, that's true. Every time I see that song and I sing that song, I feel like saying the relentless love of God. Because it's talking about how he just doesn't quit. Even though we've quit a long time ago on the love of God for us, he does not quit. His love is relentless, except it's three syllables and they needed a two-syllable word in there. So it's okay. Anyway, here in Isaiah 53, Isaiah is describing the Messiah. The Jews recognize this passage to be messianic. That is, the one who would come and save the people and make things right. This is about him, ultimately. And they would recite this passage and use it to understand what kind of Messiah would be coming. And we find a theme in Isaiah 53. They talk about this suffering servant, that the Messiah wouldn't just be a conquering king. He would be that, but he would be something else as well, a suffering servant, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And then I'm going to pick it up, around verse 3, talking about this suffering servant, which was a lens looking over seven centuries forward into the future at Jesus himself. It says, he was despised and rejected by men. I'm in Isaiah 53:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. And then Isaiah hauls off and prophesies something about what this suffering servant would do for us. And as he was looking down the centuries, he was not just looking down seven centuries. He was looking down many, many, many more, all the way to us in 2020, about what Jesus, this suffering servant, did for us. And I'll pick it up at verse 4. And it's all a matter of emphasis because it's comparing two things. So I'll give the emphasis that almost got me. Ooh. Thanks, Mike. Verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I'm doing this really emphasis on purpose so that we're understanding what Isaiah is saying. I'll say that again. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. What Isaiah saw was a vision of somebody who was righteous. It wasn't his sorrows. They weren't his griefs in the sense that he deserved them. Not only did he not deserve these sorrows and griefs and chastisement, which is punishment, we did. And yet we thought he was the bad guy. We thought he was the one who deserved all of that. But yet he knew, even though he was righteous, even though, you know, it says in the Word of God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He's taking on our punishment. And what Isaiah saw, you know, this famous verse that says, and with His wounds we are healed. We often misunderstand that verse. The context has to do with punishment for sin. And when it says, when Isaiah says, by His wounds, we are healed. It calls to mind a certain event in the suffering of Jesus before He was crucified, just before. And that has to do with one of the things that are on this table. We know about the crown of thorns. You know that they placed a crown of thorns on His head. Bit into His head, and they didn't care. These were Roman soldiers who were having some fun, as far as they could understand fun. They hit Him on the head with a stick and told Him to prophesy. In mockery, they knelt in front of Him, calling Him the King of the Jews. But this verse about by His wounds we are healed, it's referring, Isaiah saw it. This is a representation or a little model of a thing called a flagrum. A flagrum was the English word is scourge, and it usually had more than one, like a cat of nine tails or whatever, had more than one leather strip. And they, this would be bad enough getting whipped with this, but what the Romans did was put little pieces of broken pottery, dumbbell-shaped pieces of lead, bits of iron, anything that was sharp, and hopefully hooked so that when you hit the person, it would stay in, and then you'd pull it out. Jesus was, He was whipped. And when it says in this verse, by His stripes, The Hebrew word means welts. Weels is W-E-L-S. That's another word. It's the black and blue or bloody thing that emerges when you are beaten. By the beating he took, we're healed. What Isaiah saw was the man of sorrows, and we know Jesus took this beating. It doesn't say in the Gospels how many times he was whipped, but for the Jews, if they were executing justice or punishment on somebody, they would have whipped somebody. In the law of Moses, it says that you're not allowed to whip anybody more than 40 times because you kill them. So what they did was whip people 39 times in order to obey the law. The Romans had no such law. They didn't care. So we don't know how many times Jesus was whipped, but it must have been excruciating. And through the centuries, Isaiah is seeing the back of whom we know to be Jesus now being opened up as he is being scourged. And Isaiah seeing us who should have the wheels on our back because of our sin. And as these welts are opening up on the back of Jesus, ours are being healed. The righteous one is the only one who could accomplish this. There is no mere man. There is no philosophy that can accomplish what Jesus accomplished for us. And this is the point. The point has to do with sin. Our sin. The reality of our sin. We sin over our lifetimes. If we say we're without sin, we're lying, which is a sin. So then we've got at least one. But we know that our sin carries weight if we're honest with ourselves. We know that even the idea of other people's sins against us, there's a weight that is carried with that. If we carry unforgiveness or bitterness, that's as much of a weight on us as the weight of our own sin. And we carry this around, and we walk around in this life, in this world, and we find all kinds of people who, in their spirits are crushed, they are broken by the weight of their sin. They try to cover it up with pride for their sin, or cover it up with denial of their sin, or cover it up with offloading their sin on other people and laying the blame elsewhere. Or they try to atone for their own sin. Nothing. The weight of sin cannot be taken from us by our own efforts. The weight of sin cannot be taken from us by a mere man-made religion. The weight of sin cannot be taken from us by a philosophy or thinking a certain way. The only one, I mean, that's the bad news, that we are in a wretched state as human beings, separated from our God by our sin and by our unforgiveness of other people's sins against us. Helpless. And yet, God had a plan. He so loved us. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, that we should not perish, but have eternal life. That is, eternal fellowship with God, reconciled with God. The bad news is we're helpless and we can't lift the weight of sin off of our shoulders. The good news is there is someone. The suffering servant whom Isaiah saw 7 centuries before before the prophecy was fulfilled. And that is Jesus Christ. If you are aware of the weight of your sin, if it's dawning on you that holding unforgiveness for other people's sins against you is not helping you at all, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. We all do. And He's available to us with that relentless love that we just sang about. He died on the cross for our sins. But let's remember also that by His wounds, we're healed. He went through that for us so that sins can actually be forgiven. And I felt like today the Lord wanted me just to communicate this simple truth that if you are feeling the weight of your sin, if you're feeling the weight of others' sins against you that you just can't forgive, Jesus is available for you today. And I mean, that's what communion is all about. That we accept the fact that Jesus accomplished payment for our sins. That we accept the fact that Jesus forgives us. That our sins, that whole past that we've got right up to today, are forgiven. And then if we hold on to Jesus, we hold on to belief that He is God, belief that He actually did this, that this supernatural prophecy that talks about a suffering servant, and I'll read just a little bit more of it, where it says, all we, this is verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This prophecy is true. It came true in Jesus, and it's been reverberating for centuries after that. So that all who come to a knowledge, a revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord, He is God, the Son of God who came so that our sins could be paid for and that we can walk in forgiveness and that the weight of sin is lifted from us. I just want to take a moment and, you know, let that sink in here. Just let it sink in. That your sins, if you believe in Jesus, your sins are lifted from you. You are forgiven. And going forward, as you hold on to Jesus, if you sin again, you can come to Him and receive forgiveness. Cleansing, cleansing, cleansing going forward. It's something that no one else in the world can get except through Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is God, if you believe that He is your Savior, if you believe that your sins are forgiven because of what He accomplished, just raise your hand and keep it up. Oh, it's beautiful. And just hold up your hand. There might be some people here who are holding up their hand for the first time ever. Or maybe they've held up their hand and not really understood what Jesus has done. But He has lifted the weight of your sin. If you're young, you've got sins, and the Lord lifts those. If you're old, you've got sins, and the Lord lifts those. So, Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for Your love for us. That relentless, reckless love. The one that doesn't give up. And Lord, we just say, thank You. No one else could accomplish this. Not only do You lift our sins in this life so that we live forgiven, but You continue that so we walk forgiven. And then You continue it into eternity where we enter into Your family in eternal fellowship with You because we're forgiven. Thank You, Lord. And I ask, Lord, for anyone young or old who has come to this revelation and today is saying, Jesus, I receive Your gift for me. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that they'd get a chance to tell somebody today and that they would be able to walk and grow in You further and further. And Lord, for us who've been around for a while, if we've forgotten about this, we're sorry, Lord. Why would we let our sins accumulate? We come to You and ask anew for forgiveness, Lord, of our sins. knowing that you Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.